This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, loads of things I want us to talk about this morning. But before we get to any of that, there was a bit of a controversy this week. It was hilarious. I posted a picture of a straw, paper straw.
Oh, yeah?
And I said, I hate these things, and I don't care about the environment enough to have to drink paper soup every time I have a smoothie. And people lost their minds. And it was even reported as a Times Live news story.
No.
Yes. I mean, my stupid Instagram post. Must have been a slow news day. Anyway, I mean, it's hilarious. And it got me thinking. So I got contacted by, I was contacted by a lot of people who had alternatives for me. I wasn't asking for alternatives.
I was just going to say, have you received any gifts yet of glass straws or aluminium straws?
Probably. I haven't checked. But one of the messages was from somebody called Megan, who runs a business, which I thought might interest you. Sia's apparently got one of their straws. So I'm going to talk to her because it sounds like a really interesting business. It's a company that she started. Her name is Megan Johnson, and they're called Forever Straws. Mm-hmm. And we've had a lot of conversations around being for or against plastic straws. And I got a DM from Megan, and I had to get her on the line so we could talk to her about this. They make stainless steel reusable straws.
Right.
Okay. They're available in packs of four, first of its kind to be commercially available in South Africa. Packaged with a cleaning brush, the stainless steel straw revolution has numerous other advantages besides just making your drink taste better, including the fact that it's environmentally friendly, has a good look, it's ideal for any occasion, it's reusable, easy to clean, stylish, increased tensile strength, retains drink temperature longer. You don't think about that.
Yes.
Do you? And it's safe for kids, perfect for travel, BPA-free, made from 18 over 8-inch stainless steel, and dishwasher-friendly for easy cleaning.
And it doesn't become paper mache.
That's the most important thing. So she's on the line. Hey, Megan. Megan? See ya. I don't know why Sia does this to me. It's like he says there's someone on the line, and then when I go there, they're not there. It's like he's trying to disappoint me. You're doing this to me on purpose, aren't you, Sia? You like to hurt my feelings, make me sound like a moron. Hey, Megan. Oh, my God. This is... Oh, don't worry, Megan. Yeah, I can hear you in the void. You know what? Where's that psychic when you need her? She could tell me what Megan's going to say.
I have a glass straw.
You carry it around with you?
No, I should.
Because you'll break it in your bag.
It's actually very strong.
Is it thick? Thick
very
glass?
Very thick. It's a smoothie straw.
Hmm. Is she on the phone now? Okay, here she. All right, let's get... Okay. It's a mission to get this thing going. Talk to Megan. So you carry it around with you?
No. No, I've been bad. But it's got a very cute little bottle brush that it comes
that
with.
That you use to clean. Mm. Right. All right, let me just see what's going on over here. We've finally found a way to connect. Let me get hold of Megan. Hey, Megan, what's up? Megan, hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Good. Congratulations on your business and Forever Straws. This sounds like
thank
a cool
you
thing.
So much.
How's it going?
Thank you so much.
Have you sold a lot of them?
I have actually. It's going well.
When did you start the business?
2017 was inception.
Wow. So did it come about because you were trying to be environmentally friendly, or did it come about because you saw a business opportunity?
Yeah, actually, it's kind of a funny story. It was I saw a total business opportunity.
Yeah.
In all honesty, I used to use plastic straws pre-2017.
Right.
I actually discovered the straws in Bali. I was on vacation. I saw the stainless steel straw and my mind was literally blown away. I couldn't understand why South Africans don't use it. When I was doing the homework and research, I realized, wow, there's a bigger problem. You know?
So what were the challenges here? Because people, I mean, Leanne's got a glass one, but she doesn't carry it around with her because obviously glass, first of all, even if it's thick, it could break. And it's long. It takes up quite a lot of space, you know. So how do you overcome those kinds of challenges?
Like the glass is a bit fragile. Some people prefer glass. It just depends on your preference. Stainless steel is more sustainable in terms of it lasts forever and it's reusable. Goes into the dishwasher. We have some awesome foldable ones. So it's like compact. The straw literally folds. It's got silicone in the center. So it folds into a little container. Mm. You can hang it on your keyring, and
that's
space
awesome.
Is not an issue there. Yeah.
That's
strawsome. All right, there's some marketing stuff coming out of Leanne this morning. All right, so Forever Straws, how many have you sold?
Oh, numbers, wow, I can't tell you.
Well, you better check that out. I mean, it's your business.
You're not in the Dragon's Den
right
now.
I will.
But it's going well. I mean, you made money?
Yes, I am. I have. I'm making. It's a work in progress. It's the beginning. The whole business model is new for me. But, yeah, making money, definitely.
Congrats. All right, good for you. I like this. This is a much better alternative than those shit paper straws.
Yeah, the paper straws are a nightmare.
Oh, they're horrible. Anyway, Megan, thanks for chatting to us.
Thank you so much, Gareth.
All righty. There we go. There's Megan from Forever Straws. Mm. Megan Johnson. Nice.
Very good.
Find out more, obviously, by looking them up on social media and on the internet in general.
Yes.
And Sia, you've got one, right?
Yeah? So that's nice to know that they're foldable with a little silicone insert.
Yes.
Yeah, I was actually gifted one a while ago, and what was cool is it all comes in one pack together. So the straw and the little bristle to clean it, everything with.
It's like a bottle brush, right?
Yeah, so you can actually travel with it. As I said on the show a couple of weeks ago, though, it's going to take a bit of an adjustment where you think about leaving the house. You're like, okay, you have your car keys, you have your phone, you have your wallet, and you have your straw.
Well, she said spectacles,
said there's a foldable one that you can actually put in your key ring.
Yeah.
I know people who have a bottle opener on their key ring.
Yes.
You know, serious alcoholics. Mm. So if you're a smoothie fan, and I am, I love smoothies, then you got to carry around your straw. I'll just put it in my gym bag.
So you might be a convert.
I think I might, because this is something that I don't order things with straws at restaurants, right? It's only when I'm having a smoothie, and that's usually at the gym. So I can do this. If I put it in the bag with all my gym stuff, I've got a little pouch on the outside of my gym bag, and I can put it in there.
Yes.
And then I can use that, and I'll say, look at me, I'm a good person, because I'm not using your horrible paper straws.
And you can take a selfie and put it on social media.
Yes, right. And then everyone will know what a good person I am.
Yes.
But no. The smoothie's still served in a
plastic cup.
Okay.
Yeah, that I can't do anything about. And I'm in a what? Bring my own cup.
Or it's a paper cup with a plastic lid.
No, thank you. No. All right, let's go. Leanne has got some stuff to tell us.
Yes.
First of all, where do you want to start? Like Trump's new Afrikaans speaking security advisor.
You heard about him?
Oh.
Only from you.
Yeah, I haven't heard about him until now.
What happened?
Because Trump fired his, of course he did, fired his national security advisor.
He's gone through
last week.
Four of them, yeah.
He probably said it the same way he does in The Apprentice.
You're fired. That was John Bolton, who was a vigorous proponent of using U.S. military force abroad and one of the main hawks in the administration on Iran. So now he has employed Robert O'Brien, who learnt to speak Afrikaans while he was an exchange student in Bloem during apartheid.
Oh.
Hmm.
According to lobby group AfriForum's deputy CEO, Aaron Strutz, O'Brien speaks fluent Afrikaans, and
oh, wow.
AfriForum has interacted with him in the past.
Okay. And now he's Trump's security guard. Or security advisor.
He apparently still speaks
he's not the guard.
Language today.
Let's be clear. He's like the defense secretary almost.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Very nice.
But although apparently he struggles to roll his R's.
Well, he's not Afrikaans, but he can speak it.
But there are some Afrikaans people who can't roll their R's anyway.
Yeah, la brei.
Yeah. He also studied Afrikaans under Jacques Duplessis, who's a former lecturer in Afrikaans at the University of Wisconsin and the University of California in LA.
That's quite cool. I mean, imagine you're a dude who lectured the guy who's now advising Trump on national security.
Yeah.
That's nice. I think that's quite a cool thing to put in your CV.
When you said Afrikaans speaking, I was surprised that Mike Bolles wasn't up for the job.
Yeah.
Shame, but he's been caught in a racist scandal.
Yeah, so. You are busy right now.
He said the K word or something. You
imagine
know?
Mike Bolles and
have you seen what
President
Mike,
Trump working
seen what Mike
together.
Bolles looks
he's got
like.
A nice brush cut.
I saw a picture of President Trump meeting with the Lizard King, Mark Zuckerberg.
Yes, I saw it.
Oh.
And then, oh, you know, I'm an equal lover and an equal hater, and I love when people try to nitpick at useless things and they just get a slap of reality back in their face. I saw a picture of President Trump walking up the stairs, walking onto Air Force One,
yeah.
And the wind caught his suit jacket and lifted that up, and we saw a wad of cash in his pocket.
What?
Just tons of cash in really? His back pocket.
What?
And really? Of course, people climbed straight into Trump. Oh my gosh, why are you just showing off like this? Why does a president even need to carry cash?
But he was hiding it under his jacket.
No, well, it was in his back pocket. Yeah. And because the wind lifted up,
yeah.
that's how we saw it.
Why doesn't he have a wallet?
Why would the president carry cash?
And this is what I like. He says, actually, if you want to nitpick on stupid things like this, I carry cash because I like to tip people. So even though I don't have to, if I really am at a great dinner or
here's
at my
$100
hotel,
for you.
I love to tip people, and that's why I'm carrying cash.
Yeah, you see.
People were expecting a cocky answer like, it's my money, I can do whatever I want.
But you see, this is the problem is, like, if you're a Republican, then you're like, Trump can do no wrong. So of course, Trump's the most generous president ever. If you're a Democrat, well, Obama greeted the janitors, but he didn't give them his money.
Yeah, you can play it from both sides.
I just.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, maybe Trump will get into some Afrikaans now that he's got a new dude at his side. So this guy is actually going to be helping Trump solve
I read that wrong.
U.S. hostages abroad.
I thought he was like in the security detail, but he's the security advisor. So he's like Condoleezza Rice was the national security advisor under George W. Bush. So it's a very important role. It's like a cabinet position.
He's a point man for hostage situations.
Yeah, and you're in the White House. You're actually in the West Wing. You've got an office there.
The type of training that must go into a role like this.
Well, it's not training. He's not a security guy. He's the national security advisor. So
he's not in the line of fire and out on the ground.
He's in charge of the Department of Homeland Security, I think, and probably is the guy who gathers all the foreign intel from, you know, the CIA and FBI and prepares it into briefs for the president and then talks the president through, well, this is happening in Iran and this is happening with that Saudi refinery that blew
know
up.
Yeah.
Everything.
Well, he will. He's just started, but he will. Yeah. You know, by the end of it,
he'll be able to tell. Leanne Moll was looking into her webcam this morning.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's some interesting things from the messages this morning. Let's first go to Sean, who says, I love Trump, funniest president ever. Yeah, he's very entertaining. Good morning, guys. It's the weekend, baby. Also, I have the glass straws in my handbag. My bag is full of crap, and the straws have survived for 6 months. I use them regularly. That's from Claire. Well done, Claire. So it can be done. Gareth, get yourself a bullet smoothie maker and take your own smoothie. Ah, oh, for God's sake. You know, why don't you...
He ain't going to do that.
You know what? Thanks, Craig. Well, you come to my house and you make me my smoothie. You're so full of saving the environment. Time to make a smoothie. First of all, I have to go to the grocery store and buy fresh stuff to make the smoothie with, which I'll never have. And if I do buy this stuff, I buy too much and then it goes rotten in my fridge. So no. I'd rather buy one from the shop. That's why the shop exists. I'm happy to contribute to the economy. I like the way they make it. I can't make it as well as that. So no, Craig, you're going one bridge too far.
And you can also have a different one every time, whereas at home, you'll be stuck with the same ingredients.
Here's a good question, and I think it is. Matthew says, isn't it Area 51 raid day today? Isn't today the day we storm Area 51?
Look at how all of that hype has died down.
Let me deal with this. Another, you know, Keith says, Keith, stop being a smartass. He goes, now guys, why do we need straws when we can drink from the cup? Why is this such a conundrum? Keith, these smoothies, I'm exasperated. These smoothies that I like, if you try to drink it from the cup, it lumps. Because sometimes it's made in a blender.
You also get a huge moustache of milk.
The thing will land on the mouth and roll down onto the shirt. It's just, trust me. Okay?
It could go into your nose. You could aspirate.
Well, as the descendant of Shaka Zulu who drank from an umboti bowl. Yeah, actually, that's a good point.
Yeah, good point. All right.
From here on out, you know, I'm drinking Keith, everything of mine.
Keith, you've won Sia over. Why don't you two go for smoothies? That's a great idea. Two, you go to have a smoothie together straight from the cup. You leave me alone, all right? I want to have my straw. I'm going to have my straw. I can't believe this is an issue.
And by the way, yes, it is. It is Area 51 raid day.
And just in time for everyone to storm Area 51, mm-hmm. the US Navy has confirmed that Tom DeLonge, do you remember him?
Yes.
Blink-182?
Yes.
Has leaked UFO videos.
Goodbye.
So the Navy's confirmed that these videos shared by Tom DeLonge's Alien Academy do in fact show unidentified aerial phenomena.
Oh,
can this story
so he founded an organization called To the Stars Academy of Arts and Sciences in 2017.
Yeah.
That organization seeks to advance society's understanding of scientific phenomena and its technological implications. In other words, it's a UFO watchdog. So last week, the Black Vault, which is a civilian archive of declassified government documents, reported that the Navy released the dates of three officially acknowledged encounters with unidentified flying objects.
I love that.
They were dubbed FLIR-1.
Oh, how dare you say that to me? Gimbal. I didn't say anything rude to you.
Gimbal and Go Fast. And that's what the American Armed Forces themselves have referred to as unidentified aerial phenomena, or UAPs. Why did they have to come up with UAPs when we've got UFOs?
Yeah, is this a new... So now they're UAPs?
Yeah.
Oh, God, really? Okay, enough with these acronyms. It's UFO. It's an unidentified... It's been UFO for 100 years. Can we keep it to UFO?
So, yeah, can we please? Someone commented and said, it's a fucking drone, bro. There's a whole fleet of them.
Is that how they sound to you?
Yeah, anyone who says bro, yeah.
Yeah.
So they're planning to do a whole Facebook Live event around the storming of Area 51.
It's going to go so badly.
Between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. local time, which roughly is about in 2 hours' time if you're listening live.
Uh-oh. So this is going to be very bad, because here's what will happen. If you go into Area 51, which is a military base, and there are signs up all around it that say, we will shoot you dead if you come in here.
You're
going to be people shot dead. And then what's going to happen? Then people are going to be crying and wailing and gnashing their teeth. Please, this is not a good idea. Don't. People of Earth, do not attempt to invade Area 51.
Oh, no, sorry. My calculations were off. Sorry. It's only in five. It's 10 there now. The event starts at 3 a.m. in 5 hours' time.
Okay. Well, we live.
At midday South African.
I'll be watching the internet.
I don't even think they'll get so close if people will even do this. I think they'll be stopped by authorities before they get up close.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really think the U.S. government will take enough of a risk to let people get shot while they're streaming?
Keith says he'll go on a date with you and you can both drink your smoothies straight from a cup.
Oh!
All right.
Did he use the word date?
Date. He said, it's a date, Sia.
Ah!
There we go.
Keith, send me your 3-month bank statement. Then we'll take it from there. That's how great love stories are.
It is
born.
The weekend baby, says Mfundo. Morning, Gareth. I just want to say well done on the blind history videos. Absolutely no university can offer a history lecture on this scale. Well, that's an interesting thing to bring up. Thank you, Mfundo, and I'm glad you're enjoying them. We have done season two slightly differently to the way we did season one of Blind History. You can now watch the videos. It includes all kinds of visuals. There's video, there's photographs that feature the people in every episode. And the latest episode is about Vlad the Impaler. And if you haven't heard it, you need to listen. Gory. So just do yourself a favor. The easiest way to do this is go on Apple Podcasts and just subscribe. It's that simple. All right. So we've talked about UFOs and Trump's new Afrikaans-speaking security advisor, but tell me more about the AI-powered app that can spot skin cancer, listen to this, with 95% accuracy.
Yes, and it's available on iOS and Android.
Okay.
It's called Skin Vision.
Okay.
And you literally point the phone at your moles or you know, parts of your skin.
Molly. Okay.
And it assesses and it also tracks skin spots for changes over time. So it's not something that will work immediately. You need to be dedicated and you snap a photo of concerning spots on your skin with your smartphone camera. Within 30 seconds of submitting the photo, an AI algorithm then delivers a risk assessment, either low with symptoms or high. So it does this by looking for telltale signs of skin cancer in spots.
Can I try it on one of my moly
Yes, you could. It looks for irregular patterns, multiple colors, asymmetry, size, and even borders.
Amazing. And that's probably a lot more accurate than the human eye.
Well, yeah, 95%.
Plus, I'm always nervous about these things because you hear horror stories about how people have an undiagnosed skin, you know, lesion or whatever, and they don't realize that it's like the start of skin cancer.
Yeah.
And look, most of us, even the careful people, you go into the sun sometimes, you don't have sunscreen on, you're always worried. Like, what about those new, you know, moles, freckles, things, sunspots that you got? Yeah, this is good. So it's called?
It's called Skin Vision.
All right. Download the app. And it's an iOS only?
And Android.
Okay, great.
Yeah. So it's also quite helpful because it's such a catch-22 where everyone's, you know, brands are trying to spread awareness about of skin cancer and saying to people, if you have any suspicions, go to a doctor. But the thing is, so many people are now going where there is no cause for concern.
Yeah, so, wasting doctor's time, basically,
So this might help. I mean, 95% accurate, yeah.
I like it. Listen, this is where technology, it's just amazing to live now. I can't understand people who say, I would rather have been alive in the 1800s or, you know, like the 1930s. I don't understand people like that. To me, it's just the greatest time that humans have ever inhabited the planet. And look at how we can now use an app on our cell phones, for heaven's sake, to figure out whether we have skin cancer. This is amazing.
Yeah.
God, I love being alive right now. What is wrong with those people who don't like now? Who don't appreciate what they've got?
What's wrong with
now? Really, what's wrong with you? Just get in the time machine and go back to when people were basically eating each other and smashing each other over the head with animal leg bones. What's wrong with you?
Oh, gosh.
All right, what else?
Okay. A girl at school in Minnesota.
Which girl?
She took a photograph of her school lunch.
Oh, yes.
So at this school, you pay a dollar. Is it a dollar or three? It's a dollar. You pay a dollar for... Oh, sorry, $3, yes.
Will you make your mind up?
You pay $3 for school lunch, and she took a photograph of her school.
Yeah.
I mean, of her lunch. And it was a few carrots, some marinara sauce, which is basically like tomato sauce, a hot dog bun with no hot dog, and just loads of melted cheese.
Yeah. Looks like a horrible lunch.
And she's like, I'm actually really grateful that I get home to eat proper food. I mean, there's some kids at school where this is all they get to eat all day.
Yeah.
And this is what they're being fed. For something, I mean, it costs 50 cents in the US to make a meal like this. They're paying $3 and they're getting this slop that has no nutrition. So anyway, she tweeted this photograph and it's, it's gone pretty viral. She says that the post has received thousands of reactions, has been shared hundreds of times.
What, everybody else agrees her lunch was horrible?
It's literally sparked outrage amongst people who say that this is a sad excuse for a meal.
Well, then, how about they
white bread, processed cheese.
How about they all cook her lunch? Everybody who complained. I reckon she should go house to house for the next 3,000 days, because that's how many people probably complained. And she goes to each of them and they have to make her lunch.
So the school...
Slacktivists.
Let me just get clear. What are they exactly complaining about? They're complaining about the lack of nutrition.
Yes. It's a nutrition thing.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. The school tweeted back and said, oops, we goofed. Tried a new menu item today at lunch and we hear And we hear that it was a winner. Going forward, we will gather input from our students on new menu options. Oh, thanks for the feedback.
Listen, I'm so tired of people ratting on each other on why didn't she go to the school? The fact that she goes on social media and looks for attention with her stupid meal. Go to the school and say to them, listen, guys, I don't want to post this because you're my school. I'd like not to embarrass you. Where did we lose the ability to deal with each other one-on-one? Like, if I have a problem with you, why do I put it on Instagram instead of going to you and saying, hey, Leanne, you know, can we talk about this? I've got an issue over something you said yesterday. Now, people are so weak and they're so unable to talk to each other as peers to address each other with respect.
Well, that's exactly what happened. The principal approached her and said that she would need to meet with the district nutritionist.
This is cancel culture, and it's part of this whole idea that we rate each other the whole time. I bought something online the other day, and within 2 seconds of it being delivered, I was expected to go and fill in some survey online. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't want... What I bought was not important enough for me to have to go and fill in a survey. I don't need to give you feedback. I don't want to. Let's not rate each other. Was it good for you? Bill Maher spoke about this on a show the other day. He said he's tired of people rating each other on everything. You rate yourself on Tinder. You rate yourself on Facebook. People give you likes. People tell you this. It's dangerous. This is damaging our society. How about you just do things? And how about you just talk to each other?
Mm.
And how about we don't have to follow up on everything? And how about companies leave us alone once we've bought something? Because we don't want a relationship with everything. We sometimes just want to buy the thing and get out of your shop. How about that?
Mm.
This constant rating. And then everybody gets a social score, like in China. You know, in China, they've got this situation where people go, well, you know, Leanne crossed that road when the light was red and we saw her on the cameras, so -2 points for her.
Ooh.
And you do. Ooh. You find yourself eventually in China. You're not able to do anything because the government's rated you as a -7. And suddenly you can't get married because, oh no, you're not good for marriage. And suddenly you can't walk in the street and suddenly you can't own a car and suddenly you can't get a job. And everybody goes, oh, there she is, the -7 woman. Look at her. Oh, what a disgrace.
The scarlet letter.
It's terrible. I'm telling you, this is going to result in such pain. Can we stop rating each other and complaining on social media and just talk like humans? If this girl had gone to the woman who slops the stuff on the plate at the school lunch hall, and let me tell you, school lunches have never been great. I don't know who she expects. What does she want? Gordon fucking Ramsay wandering down the school canteen, putting stuff together for
her? Jamie Oliver does that.
Well, it's not going to happen, honey. You're at a normal school in America. You're going to get someone who's on minimum wage, probably from Mexico. Donald Trump's tried to stop getting across the border, making you something that looks like gruel. And here's what's going to happen. You go to her and you say, excuse me, ma'am, because that's what, you know, you're going to be respectful. Excuse me, ma'am. This lunch you've given me, this is really bad. And then you take your chances with her either losing her temper and then you learn something about how not to behave. Or she'll go back to the kitchen, she'll make you something nicer and say, I'm so sorry, that really was pretty awful. And then you can actually have a relationship with this woman. And you know what? From then on, you two can talk about school lunches all you want. Not have to involve 3 million strangers on the internet who are not that interested in your lunch. They're just looking for a reason to complain and get attention.
They just want to get in on it.
Please. Who's this? Rob? Hi, Rob. Is Hi Rob on the line? Hey, Hi Rob. Oh, he's on here? Ugh, God, see, are you with your connections today? What's going on with you? A terrible producer. See ya. This is going to drive me to drink. His phones. I want to get Donna in here. Can we talk to Donna?
Don't you wish you lived in the 1800s?
Hi Rob. We'll chat to you next week, my friend. I know we've got lots to catch up on, but yeah. I got Donna Rachelson here. I want to talk to her because what she's got to say is really, really interesting. And she's going to talk to us a little bit about women in business. She's written a number of books. I know you're going to love talking to her. Leanne's already excited. So let me tell you quickly. If you don't know Donna Rachelson, this morning we're here to say you need to know her. She's a driven entrepreneur with a passion for helping women. Entrepreneurs corporate go-getters. She helps them make their mark. She's an active advocate for diversity, firmly believes that power and inclusion is important. She drives her agenda through talks and workshops and lobbying the ecosystem for change. And she's written these books. One of the books is called Personal Branding for Entrepreneurs. And it's a fast, worthwhile read to enhance your personal brand, figure out what it is that makes you truly distinctive. And she's in here this morning to tell us about that and more. Hey, Donna, how are you?
Fine, and you?
I'm great. It's awesome. Friday morning. I'm having a great day. It's about time we got to talk to you. I've known Donna for a long time, and we've never had her on the show. It's outrageous.
Agreed.
It is. So how are things going? Are we managing in this economy?
Yeah, we're getting along. I think there's a strong focus on women. Uh-huh. I'm feeling it all around. There's tension. People are feeling it. It's big stuff.
Now, it makes absolute sense to anyone who's got half a brain that you need women not only in proportional amounts in any representative organization, because women will bring a new market insight. If there's just men in a business, they'll think like men. And if there's just women in a business, they'll think like women. And sometimes they'll miss out on half the market, right? So you need a bit of both. And sometimes the women can be in charge and sometimes the men can be in charge. And that's absolutely essential, because then decisions will be made differently. Women see things men don't. Men see things women don't. We're different.
Absolutely. So diversity in everything is meaningful. Mm-hmm. A diversity in a supply chain, when your suppliers are all diverse,
yeah,
it creates for great competitiveness. If you're looking at boards, diverse boards, and not only women, it's all kinds of different people.
Yeah.
Bring energy, bring different perspectives, bring an organization alive. So I think that's one point I want to make. The other is that there is now proof that when you have more senior women in management, that your organization is more profitable.
Right.
There's also now cutting edge research that I think it's 17 out of 20 leadership competencies, many women score better on those competencies. So there's now kind of research that women are better leaders. So I don't think there's a case that we need more women. The case is, how do we help women show up differently? Mm. And how do we ensure that we change the...
Leanne, your Siri's going off.
That's not me, hey? No,
it's Leanne. Her Siri gets triggered by all of this talk of women.
Gets very excited.
And the other thing is, how do we bring men into the conversation and help ensure that there's an understanding of what's holding women back?
I want to talk about that in particular in just a moment, but I also want to hear about your story and where you come from and where this all started happening for you and how you ended up writing these books and being so involved with women in business. Where did it all begin?
So my career has been really male-dominated. Started off life in an explosives and chemicals factory, which was all about chemical engineers. Yeah. That's all I knew. Then I became marketing director for the South African Institute of Chartered Accountants, which was all white male accountants that stage. Then I joined Standard Bank, banking, also male-dominated. Then joined Nando's, which was also extremely male-dominated at that time, and then joined a supply chain management company. So my career was about navigating the world of men and, you know, understanding how, as a woman, I needed to show up and how I needed to make my mark. So I became quite passionate about that. And then as I evolved through my career, I've been asked by a number of organizations to look at what some of their leading women were doing to get ahead. Mm-hmm. And through this understanding, what I saw is many of them thought like men, but they weren't men. So this was an interesting kind of aspect for me to work with. So what I realized is they understood how the world of work worked in terms of rules that men have kind of created.
Right.
Why? Because men have been in the workplace a lot longer than women.
Well, we invented it.
You invented it, exactly. You were there
We made it according to our rules.
Exactly. You know? So they're rules, but they didn't compromise who they were as women. So they didn't try and be like men.
Yeah. Well, there are women who do, and sometimes they're very successful.
Exactly, because that is a strategy. Yeah. If you want to be, you know, the woman that swear in the boardroom and drink with the boys, and you know, there are lots of them.
It's my kind of woman, really. Let's be honest.
All right, but there are other things that women see. First of all, I want to talk about this thing that you brought up once or twice already. That women need to stand up for themselves and be their own advocates, because men aren't going to do that for them. But sometimes women are not their best, they aren't their best agents, if you know what I
mean. Agreed.
You know, like sometimes they, because women and men are raised differently, because we have different inherent abilities, that there are strengths and weaknesses on both sides. And again, we're generalizing.
Yeah.
But by and large, women are more about people and relationships. Men are more about like results and immediate gratification and power and ego and all of those things. And sometimes they don't gel so well. And sometimes a woman's in a position where she doesn't fight for things like a man would.
Yeah, agreed.
Because she's trying to cultivate a relationship. She's trying to understand the dynamics. There are things that she can do, and she has intuition, which a man doesn't. And she can feel things that men don't know and aren't able to sense, and she doesn't necessarily always use those things to her advantage when it comes to negotiating for a better salary or any of that stuff, right?
You're spot on. And if you look at the games that boys play when they were growing up, it's all about sport and it's about winning and losing.
Right.
And boys learn at a very early age that you win some and you lose some. And either way, you can still be friends afterwards. What women tend to do is they focus on smaller groups, and it's all about cohesion, collaboration. I remember growing up, I had like six Barbies, girls, and one Ken.
Yeah.
And I remember playing with my friends, and we were working out how everybody can work nicely and everybody can have a bit of Ken.
There was a busy Ken.
You know, it was a busy Ken. Lucky Ken and a busy Ken. But
and there was competition with those Barbies.
Absolutely. There was, but, you know, it was all about the relationships and the collaboration and the cohesion and all that kind of stuff. And what we do is we tend to bring that to the workplace.
Mm.
So, yeah, we're fabulous at building relationships. But the problem is sometimes it can be to our detriment. The reason being is if I fall out with a woman, I'm thinking, you know, if I can't have a personal relationship with her, how can I possibly have a business relationship? Where often you can find two guys that actually hate each other.
But they
yet
do.
For the sake of business,
sure.
In the boardroom, you would say that they were stuck together with glue. They're so cohesive.
Mm.
And I think these are some of the differences that, you know, women need to be aware of and to navigate.
Well, let's talk about the strengths, because there are things that women are better at than men, and we've talked about building relationships, but there are others, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we're very intuitive, as you said. We're very collaborative. We're very purpose-driven.
Mm.
You'll often find women come into the world of work, what's my purpose? You know, got to find my purpose. Can't be doing this if I don't have purpose. Meanwhile, a guy is game on. You know, where's my salary? When am I going to be CEO? When am I getting the next raise? It's all about the business. We're quite calculated risk takers. In fact, there's emerging research that women make better entrepreneurs.
Mm.
And the reason being is that we quite calculated with our risk. So that's something that's really great. And what else about us? We're good leaders.
What are the weaknesses that women need to look out for, apart from the ones we've already touched on?
So a lot of things about women sit around, they tend to be very perfectionistic. So one of the chapters I talk about in my book is say it, it doesn't have to be 100%. So often a woman won't speak out, firstly because there's a dynamic that they think that they may be lesser amongst men in the room, but also because they feel that it needs to be perfect.
And that also makes me think of some things I've observed when men and women are in a meeting together or whatever else it is. Women don't like conflict generally. Men sometimes love conflict.
Absolutely, because it's all about the winning and the losing.
Right.
You know, I'm either going to win or I'm going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's also interesting, funny, just linked to that point, is, you know, no to a man means maybe, yes, or later. It doesn't necessarily mean no. Whereas a woman, when they hear no, they take it as a personal kind of dig at their capabilities. And I did a social experiment with my kids. I said to my daughter, Carly, when I say to you no, what does it mean? And she says, Mommy, no means no. And I said to my son, Zach, when I say to you no, what does it mean? He says, nag more.
No.
No, seriously. Yeah. So that is also something that, you know, we take things sometimes too personally.
How much real chauvinism and sexism is there out there in the workplace? Because we hear stories, and they're becoming, I think, rarer and rarer because men are now checking their behavior in a world where I think social media has helped with this, where women are able to say what they think and they're able to express themselves a lot more volubly than they might have before. But it's still there, right?
It's so there. It's scary. Mm. In fact, one of my facilitators this week is involved in a blue chip organization where they have compulsory training on sexual harassment. Not Jeez. That you need to do it.
No.
That, you know, what to look out for, how to speak out. So this stuff is very real. And unfortunately...
So we're not even talking about the subtle stuff now. No. We're talking about like straight up sexual harassment.
Straight up sexual harassment that has, you know, these cases have been taken to the CEO, but now it's kind of been implemented across the organization. Training has to happen. So unfortunately, it's rife.
I think that what you said just now about women entrepreneurs, that's interesting because there's a good case for how, especially in South Africa, where women are responsible for so much in the family, in the community, all of that stuff, that they have a market understanding, which sometimes the men in that community might not have. That could be a massive advantage too, right?
It is. So one of the businesses I'm involved in, Seed Engine, where we fast track women and youth entrepreneurs, the whole premise around it is that when a woman becomes empowered from an entrepreneurship perspective, it's not only her family she looks after, but it's her community and society. And that is the case for driving woman entrepreneurship in South Africa and Africa for that case.
How do you deal with the criticism that a lot of insecure men might have when you're constantly emphasizing the role of women all the time? And there are men who take this stuff very personally because they probably have an inferiority complex or they're insecure about themselves or whatever, and they hear women, 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 and they think, oh, this means obviously we're excluding men. We're denigrating men. We're pushing them to the sidelines. It doesn't, but how do you deal with those men?
Yeah, I do have a few problems occasionally when we push women. I do believe we have to push women because they have been disadvantaged and they're not on the radar screen. For example, they hardly get as much venture capital funding as men do. In fact, it's a minimal amount of funding that women get. But having said that, my strong belief in South Africa is that all entrepreneurs create jobs. And we got to be giving equal emphasis to every entrepreneur who is out there, you know, battling every day.
Hustling,
you know, trying to make it work in this very, very tough economy. So I hear you. And I think it's something we got to be sensitive to.
And women can use those old traits that men are incapable of avoiding and ignoring to their advantage too. I mean, like, you know, there are abilities that women have to get men's attention that men don't, if you know what I mean. Whether it's from a power point of view, whether it's to do business, whether it's to forge relationships, men almost lose their minds sometimes.
Mm.
We become a bit like a vacuum in the presence of a woman who either has, you know, a really interesting and charming way about her, perhaps a little bit of a flirtatious nature. Perhaps it's in the way that she dresses. Perhaps it's in the way that she takes control of things. Sometimes men are so preoccupied with those dynamics that they actually can be manipulated quite easily.
Look, I think you're spot on. And, you know, certainly with a lot of the younger women that I work with, I mean, I just give an example, like, you know, how to connect with somebody when you're networking. And I sometimes say I'll go up to a guy and give him a compliment and, you know, say he's got a nice shirt or whatever.
Suddenly he's yours.
Yeah, but, But, Cliff, there's a, you know, they say, oh, no, that would be flirting. And, you know, don't want to get involved in that. I said, look, I'm too old for that. I know that I'm not going to get picked up. So it's not an issue for me. But certainly I do sense that women know that they do have this kind of power that they can utilize when they need to. But the stance where I come from and a lot of my books around personal branding is how do you build a personal brand that commands authority, respect, and credibility.
Yeah.
And that's built on the substance as opposed to
the tricks,
you know, how you dress, the flirting, all that kind of stuff.
I think what's really important for me, I am quite involved in female entrepreneurship, and I do talks and alongside my business partner. And what we find and what we try and instill in the people that we speak to is that it's you don't no longer have to compete against each other as women. You know, before landing a job as a woman was rare, and you would often think about yourself first rather than another woman, and it would be very competitive. But now we're finding that if we work together, we're actually 10 times more powerful.
Absolutely, but women don't always support women. I'm not sure why.
They don't. It's incredible.
It's the six Barbies with the one Ken thing. That's what I'm telling you.
It all stems from that.
You girls start with those games. It's bound to lead to trouble.
Exactly, but that's why also another chapter in my book, you know, speaking to women is focused on results and deliverables. You know, you've got your place at the table. Now make it happen. Work your network like a man, because men are extremely good at networking, much better than women, because we tend to focus more on the relationship. So if
you can't have a relationship with everybody. No, it's just time-consuming and exhausting.
Exactly. You know, whereas men will leverage their networks ruthlessly to get what they need to get. Is and we need to learn from that.
Is this why women can't leave the room when you're ready?
Hey. Where's this going?
I'm telling you. For guys, it's sometimes enough to just go, hey, how are you? And then move on. Hey, George, what do you think? George Meany's here.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you're all right, but we don't do that in my business.
What do you do?
We're very focused on treating people based on their abilities and their outputs and their performance, male or female. Half of my management team are female. So, you know, and for me, I don't look at it as a male or female thing. I don't say, Angie, you're a girl, or not that, you know, she doesn't have a gender, but it's when we're engaging in business, we've just cultivated a business over the last 20 years that it doesn't feel like that for me. In a boardroom, we're actually arguing on the basis of the facts or the merits or the problem.
Yeah, Donna, don't you feel sometimes that maybe the politics of all of this has almost made it harder?
Yeah, I think that is what we've got rid of in our business, is the politics.
Yeah, because actually, if you're good and what you're talking about is competence, and what mm-hmm. you're talking about is being, you know, being the best you can be, personal branding and all the rest of it, then the politics actually shouldn't play much of a role.
Yeah, look, I hear you and you sound like a very enlightened leader, but let me tell you that there are some facts that are documented in the English dictionary. There's a term called microaggression, where women have to prove their capabilities when applying for a job a lot more than a man.
Well,
a man is kind of chosen for his potential, whereas a woman needs to prove her competency inside out.
Yeah, but let me just microaggression thing, that is bullshit Marxist leftist language that they've introduced at college campuses in America. There's no such thing. It's absolutely made up nonsense for weakness in college campuses for these coddled elitist children who've got nothing else to complain about. It's nonsense, Donna. Microaggression is bullshit.
All I talk for is myself, and all I know is what we've done in the last 20 years, and discrimination based on gender, race, politics,
unacceptable.
Or anything is unacceptable in my business. It's just unacceptable. If somebody starts with their political bullshit, I'm sorry.
Out of the meeting.
You know.
Go and be with the children, you know, and come back when you're ready to talk to the
It's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen.
Now, I hear you guys, but I promise you, Trust me, women need to prove themselves a lot more than men.
No, that I don't disagree with. I think that's absolutely
in
right.
the main.
It's an unfair thing that we still have.
It's unfair, yes, and I'm not saying it's right, but the fact is that it's there.
Yeah.
We need more leaders like you. That,
well, you know, we need more books like yours, and you can find out more by going to DonnaRachelson.com. That is her website. You can also find the books on Amazon and on Kindle. Personal Branding for Entrepreneurs, and Play to Win, What Women Can Learn from Men in Business. I mean, there are a bunch of books. Once you find Donna on Amazon, you might want to buy them all.
It's also nice that the book's not intimidating. It's small, and it's got less pages than
how many pages?
Much less pages than a normal book.
That's a nice, quick, concise read.
Well, Donna, thank you for coming to talk to us this morning.
Thank you so much.
Good stuff. And you can find Donna on DonnaRachelson.com and go and look at her books, and you might just find a whole lot of interesting facts and useful wisdom in there too that might just help you. And if you're a guy, could help you to, first of all, the personal branding stuff is, you know, for everybody. But the books on how women can be more like men in business and what they can learn from men in business, I think that could be interesting for men to read.
Absolutely.
All right. So, George, what's happening in the world of motoring?
Africa is going to be producing a new car brand called Muriza.
Who?
Muriza. So I don't know why we have to choose complicated names like that.
Maralise.
Yeah, except, yeah. Maif.
Maif or Maralise.
Maralise. Are we making a bicycle called a Maralise?
It could very well be. I mean, it looks like a standard car, if you ask me.
That looks like a very boring standard car.
Yeah.
But we're going to produce it on this continent?
On this continent, it's apparently going to be hailed for Africans. So it's a group of Africans who have got together, and the initial product was born from a joint venture with Iran's second biggest car company.
Iran.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Maybe it's a tank.
No, I don't like this. This is, again, one of those soft bigotry of low expectation things where we're meant to like celebrate that we're producing something that's kind of below average looking at those pictures.
I must be honest.
Wouldn't want one.
No.
No, neither would I.
I want an electric car. I don't know why we're making ICE vehicles, but
that thing looks like a piece of rubbish. So,
I think they're going to come against some fierce competition when it comes to the 50 odd brands that are already in South Africa. So, we've got some strong brands: VW, BMW, Mercedes are the top search for brands in South Africa.
Yeah, no one wants one of these. It's not going to help. It's not going to sell.
I don't know.
Nah.
We'll see.
Nah.
We'll see. On to something more exciting.
Fong Kong.
Lots of I heard that term, Fong Kong. Where does that actually come from? I should Google it.
It's like township slang for a fake, a fake bag or a fake pair of shoes or a fake whatever, Fong Kong.
Fong Kong. Sounds like Chinese.
Mm. Well, it's probably because a lot of the Fong Kong is made in China.
So, I don't know if you've noticed, probably in the later cars that you've driven, that there is no handbrake.
Yeah, I'm driving an electric car at the moment, which is interesting, and I'll talk about it later on when I've experienced it a bit more. But
when you've run out of charge.
Well, I've been charging. I get a little bit nervous when it drops below like 20%. Because then I could be in trouble. But otherwise, it's been a dream. And I've noticed even that has a little
button.
A little button that you press for the handbrake.
I see.
So most cars are coming with those buttons. Jaguar, Land Rover, Lexus, Mercedes, and Porsche have also already switched the electronic handbrake device. And within the next 2 or 3 years, I think you won't see the mechanical handbrake anymore.
It is
quite archaic. It's like rolling down windows. It's a whole physical movement that you've got to do.
And believe it or not, you can still buy cars with those rolling down windows.
Yeah, exactly.
You can still buy cars with those rolling down windows. So those will be gone in a couple of years. And then I don't know if you saw the viral video of the woman speeding away with a cop clinging to her bonnet.
Well, we've been talking about it the whole of yesterday and the whole of today. What information? Apparently she's been... She's been arrested.
And apparently the policewoman was writing out a ticket for her talking on her cell phone.
Oh, my word.
And then she decided to speed off with her on her bonnet.
Yes.
Ew.
People are crazy. That's really not a good idea. There are better ways to deal with a traffic cop you don't like.
Yeah. I was pulled over the other day mm-hmm. in a roadblock, just a routine roadblock. And I knew my license disc had expired a month before and I didn't have a new one. So I was going through it going,
"Such a put foot.
Don't pull me over, don't pull me over."
That and was I the almost first thing they check.
Almost got through and he stopped me.
Oh.
And I have a temporary license at the moment because my license isn't ready yet. Mm-hmm. So I had to get that out the boot. And he said, "Yeah, your disc is expired. Temporary license, sir." So I said, "Well, my it's not ready yet. I've been."
Like, what's that got to do with anything when a temporary license is very valid?
Exactly. Yeah. So he said, "Look, I'm going to have to fine you R1,000 for your license disc." He said, "Can you afford it?" So I said, "No, I can't." I was waiting for a bribe situation to happen, but it didn't.
Yeah.
He saw a dog basket in my car where I usually have Joey as my co-pilot. And he said, "Oh, have you got animals?" I said, "Yeah, I've got 4 cats and a dog."
He thought, "Shame, cat lady, let her go."
He said, "You know what? I really like people who have animals because it shows you that they are good, respectful, and loving people."
Wow.
And he gave me back my license while he was talking and said, "I have a colleague who trained dogs and, gee, I love dogs. I wish I could have one. Anyway, have a nice day."
Wow. You got away with that based on your dog friendliness to animals. That's unbelievable.
But also, he's cognizant of the fact that everyone's battling at the moment,
sure,
money-wise.
Yeah.
And he said, "I don't like to find people."
Right.
But what did I do? I drove straight to the post office and got my license disc.
Well, at least he got his way.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a nice way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good for you, Leanne. It had a positive result.
It did.
Hmm.
I didn't drive off with him on my bonnet.
I usually leave going, fuck you. I'm not getting my license, you bastard.
No, you know me, I'm a conformist.
Yeah. All right, well, I think that we've just got to be a little bit understanding, too, about the fact that these traffic cops, they don't get derived pleasure out of having to stand there and find innocent people guilty of small offenses and write out fines. It must be backbreakingly boring. Mm. And I don't think it's exciting work for them, and they don't necessarily thrive on it. I think they have important things to do, like stop people who are hijacking cars, and they have roadblocks where they try to find people who've got contraband or, God forbid, a dead body in the boot or whatever else. And, you know, these are important things that we need to do and support these people if they're not stepping over the bounds of their own authority.
Yeah.
Then be respectful and have some decency. Like, be polite.
I mean, it's always the minority that make it bad for everybody. And you know, humans by nature, are they bad? I don't think so. By nature, you know, you get some humans that are just appalling. But surely inside a human being, they know when they're doing right and wrong.
And you'll be surprised if you're just polite and you're respectful.
You'll get the nice side.
You will. Yeah. You'll bring out the best in that person. Anyway, that moral lesson was brought to you by George and Leanne and I.
Here we go. Okay.
What else?
That's it. Short and sweet. George. I'm now going on my weekend.
Yes, tell us about your weekend, because George has been teasing me with all kinds of stories about his plane. Go on.
Yeah. So every year about this time, we as recreational pilots, as we call it, we're weekend pilots. We get together in a place called Numbi, which is in Hazy View near to the Kruger Park. You know Hazy View.
I go every year.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So this time of year, we all descend on Hazy View. There's a hotel there with a runway on the hotel's property.
Yeah.
And it's just south of the Crocodile River of the Kruger Park.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's between the Crocodile River of the Kruger Park. Then you get Hazy View and the Numbi Hotel. And then further north, you'll get Guard's Window. And that area. And we all take our aeroplanes and we go and fly over God's Window down the Crocodile River looking for animals. And a lot of the animals come out of the Kruger Park. Well, not out of the Kruger Park, but down to the river. And you're not allowed to fly into the Kruger Park with a private aeroplane or over the Kruger Park. And there are security that will take your registration and get your license taken away. So we fly just off the river, but low enough to be able to see the animals.
Beautiful. But you told me, George said that there's this point on the escarpment where you go over at God's Window and it feels like the whole earth is just sunk away.
Dropped.
And wow. And you basically, you feel your stomach goes up into your throat. That must be just the best feeling.
It is absolutely amazing. The earth literally drops off a cliff on God's window. Have you ever walked on God's
yes.
window? It's over there. We go flying over the edge of the escarpment.
Beautiful. If you want to experience the hippos up close, you can go to the Sabi River Sun.
Yeah.
And at about 4 or 5 o'clock at night, they start gathering.
Whoa.
And they just all wade and mate and grunt.
And
I didn't know this, but I found out the other day, hippos... Two male hippos win a fight based on who can open their mouth the widest.
Yes.
I mean, how bizarre.
You'll see them doing that a lot when humans approach because they're showing their power.
Yeah. And they don't fight to the death or try and rip each other apart. It's like, I can open my mouth wider than yours.
Yeah.
Sounds like humans.
Let's not get all fisticuffy. I'll just show you my teeth.
All right, everybody. Have a happy day. Thank you very much, George.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You very much, Leanne. And it's Friday. Enjoy your weekend.
Yay.
We will catch up again Monday morning, bright and early, 6 o'clock.
This is CliffCentral.com.